All right. Hello. Thank you very, very much for having me. It's so nice to be here.
I did introduce you, but you missed
it. Last year at this time, I was passed out on the couch in the sukkah. So thank you for being mezakeh me. I always have great intentions and great ideas about coming and learning Hoshana Rabbah at night, and usually it ends up on the couch in the sukkah around midnight. So thank you very much to Mrs. El-Malay and to everybody. This is very special. It's good to just be in the sukkah. That's really the main thing. Whatever dibur, whatever you say and do in the sukkah is secondary to just being in the sukkah, no? You don't have to, like, do anything. That's the whole thing with the sukkah. It's just being in the sukkah. The Rama says to be in the sukkah, even if it means playing dice, playing cards, or headbands, as happened this evening. You know, whatever you're doing, just do in the sukkah. Because in the sukkah, we're betzila de me'amnusa, we're surrounded, we're in the presence of Hashem, we're lifnei Hashem, kipshuto. But before Hashem, in the most simple, basic, pashut way. Literally, lifnei Hashem. So, Chag HaSukkot, Sukkot is Zman Simchaseinu. Zman Simchaseinu, the time of our rejoicing. Vilna Gaon, as your tzaddik was this week, explains in his Siddur that when a yontif is described in the Torah as being a specific time. Pesach is called Zman Chayruteinu. And Shavuos is called Zman Matan Toraseinu. Sukkot is called Zman Simchaseinu. So it means that it's the source, it's the Shoresh for that time throughout the entire year. So that our relationship with Torah throughout the year comes from what takes place on Shavuos. And the opportunity, the ability to kind of go beyond ourselves and break free, connect to the national idea of freedom, finds its root, finds its source, its beginning in Pesach. And Zman Simchaseinu Sukkis is the source of the Shoresh for Simcha for the entire year. And the Gra says, the Vilna Gaon teaches, that when we're davening over and over and over again these past week, Ata b'chartanu mikol ha'amim, Ahavta osanu v'ratzisa banu, says Ahavta osanu v'ratzisa banu, you loved us and desire us, is referring to Sukkot. And the reason why Sukkot is Zman Simchateinu, or one aspect of the reason why Sukkot is Zman Simchaseinu, is because Ahavta osanu v'ratzisa banu, because of the awareness that Hashem wants us. And then Hashem and Klal Yisrael involved in a relationship nationally and personally of love. Ahavta osanu v'ratzisa banu. That's Sukkot. So in Sukkot, we're just in the Sukkah. We're just here. The main thing is just to be here. To be lifnei Hashem. So I thought tonight a few minutes to talk a little bit, to try to get into that mindset, a little bit of what's taking place. Tonight, everything goes after the bottom line of a contract. The fine print, the last line of the contract, everything goes after that last line, everything goes after the chasima. Tonight, Hoshana Rabbah, tonight, the fixing, tonight is the end of it all, and the beginning of the rest of the year. So all of the kochos of Sukkot, all the opportunities of Chag HaAsif, which is Bechlal, in general, collecting all of the opportunities of the entire year, are now collected into this final night of Sukkot. It's like the ultimate snowball of the ultimate snowball. And Sukkot is Chag HaAsif, not just we're bringing in the crops, not just bringing in the grapes and the grain. Sfasema says that Chag HaAsif means that we're ma'asef, we gather up all everything into the Sukkah, we bring all of those opportunities that we had during the year that maybe didn't work out the way we were hoping. All of those ritzonos come into this yantif, and we realize that a Kodesh Baruch, we bring it into the Sukkah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us that way. Whether we did it or we didn't do it, whether we were able to or weren't able to, Chag HaAsif, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, just come in and let's be together. Let's just kind of be together in this place. So I thought tonight to try a little bit to talk about the beginning of the year of Simcha. This is Rosh Hashanah for Simcha. The entire year is Zman Simchaseinu. It's the Shoresh It's the beginning of it all. So the Rambam explains in the end of Hilchos Lulav, one of the most famous teachings, in all of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, that really is something that it doesn't just apply for Yom Tov for Sukkot, but it's the end of Hilchos Lulav. It's the last halacha regarding Chag HaSukkot. So a person's learning throughout the halachas, throughout Yom Tov, going through halachas of the Rambam. This is the last halacha, the last night of Sukkot. This is halacha we're learning. Says the Rambam, HaSimcha shiyismach adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah. The simcha, this feeling, we'll hopefully kind of think about and talk about tonight a little. This simcha, shiyismach adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah ahavas ha'el shetziva bahen. The experience of the joy of the celebration or the feeling that we have in the fulfillment of our mitzvahs, avoda gedolahi, it's a big avoda. Now the Rambam is not big on adjectives. He's not very adjective oriented. That Rambam. This is especially a halachic work. This isn't a book of philosophy, right? This isn't officially a book of machshava. It's not a hashkafic work. It's not a book of musar. It's not a book of machshava. The yad. This is it. The Mishnah Torah. This is as halachic as you get. Says the Rambam, the simcha that and with, through which we do our avodas Hashem, through which we serve God, is called avoda gedolahi. It's a big avoda. And anyone who holds himself back from this, from experiencing a life of Torah and mitzvos with simcha, is someone who is bringing upon themselves a lot of potential difficulty. As the Pasuk tells us in Tochacha, we just read it, Tachas Asher Lo Vartos Hashem Elkecha B'Simcha Tov Levav, that the root of all the pain and difficulty and suffering in exile, the Klal Yisrael, that is brought on Klal Yisrael Aleinu from the Tochacha, is because Tachas Asher Lo Vartos Hashem Elkecha B'Simcha Tov Levav, because we didn't serve God with Simcha. Ruderman Tzatzal, Rosh Hashiva, founding Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael, Ruderman said that when we're bringing 70 Karbanos throughout Sukkot, right, 70 karbanos, and we bring them in descending order. It's kinege. It's for what? What's the purpose? Huh? It's so to speak to neutralize the koach, the potential power of the 70 nations in the world. So there's also, it's not just parim. We're not just bringing bulls on Sukkot. We're also bringing kvasim. We're saying in Musaf. There's all these different animals that we're bringing. So there's 98 of these kvasim that we're bringing. 14 every single day. And Ruderman said that those 98 kvasim that we're bringing throughout the 14 times a day that we're bringing them throughout the week correspond to the 98 tochachot that are read in Sefer Devarim, which all come tachas asher lo avartem as Hashem lekecha b'simcha, because we weren't, not that we weren't keeping Torah mitzvahs, but our way of keeping Torah mitzvahs lacked simcha. So Sukkot is man simchaseinu. Even in the bringing of the korbanos, we're trying to kind of awaken ourselves to realize that the way that we bring blessing into our life and the way we ward off any negativity is by doing what we're doing, by doing our avodah with simcha. It says the Rambam, kol moneh atzma m'simcha zo. And anybody who holds himself back, who doesn't fully invest themselves with this attitude or with this simcha, roi li para mimenu, meaning they're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it. So before we go any further, Zman Simcha Seinu, V'samachta B'chagecha, we're singing it already, like, you know, Nacha V'samachta B'chagecha, Nacha V'samachta B'chagecha. What exactly does it mean to be B'simcha? What exactly is this Midah of Simcha? And even if we've heard it before, and even if we've said it before, even if we think about it, and you've read about it, and you've talked about it, it's something which demands review and demands Chazara, especially tonight, the last night of Sukkot, where we're trying to like reflect on everything that took place this week and try to internalize it and let it sink in so that we're able to take it with us for the rest of the year. This is the source for the entire year. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Simcha is not a result of any specific moment or activity, action, accomplishment. A lot of times we think that if I do well in that test, or if I win that prize, or if I get that computer, that outfit, that car that I wanted, if he likes me, so then would be besimcha. There's something that is taking place that makes me feel good. And that good feeling is called simcha, and that comes from the outside. Really, there's lots of different words that we have to describe different emotions in Yiddishkeit. We have gila, chedva, we have lots of it, we have sason, we have lots of different ways that we express positive feeling, and lots of different ways that we express every type of emotion. We're nuanced faith. Simcha is not the result of something. When a person wins the lottery, that crazy feeling, like I really thought I was going to win Powerball this year. I was really thoroughly convinced that I was going to win Powerball. I had a plan. I already planned out a lot. And it was thoroughly, I was shocked. I was paralyzed with shock for like half a day that it didn't happen. I couldn't believe it. But if someone who wasn't expecting to win the lottery would win the lottery, what would that feeling be called? You surprised? Whoa! What's that called? What do we call that in Yiddishkeit? That's not simcha, that's gila. It comes like a gala, comes like a wave, an unexpected wave from the side. There's an exaltation, there's ditza, which is just a different... Simcha is the baseline, default setting for the way a Jew goes through the world. Tzadok explains it's the factory default. You ever get like a printer, and it has all sorts of like different settings you can set it to? The factory default setting for a Jew being born into this world and existing in this world is being besimcha. So Reb Nachman says, mitzvah gedola lios besimcha tamid. It's a great mitzvah to always be besimcha. That doesn't mean jumping on vans, on top of vans, bumper stickers on it. I mean, it could be an expression of that. It could be a way to kind of to express that. But simcha is not in response to anything. It's not a peak experience that we feel, you know, after spending a whole night learning, you know, Shavuos night, that morning, that feeling right before davening, you have like this like extra push up. Simcha is not the sense of accomplishment we have after spending a meaningful summer helping people. That's a different feeling. Simcha is the baseline feeling that a Jew has all the time. So Tzadok explains that this notion of being in a state of simcha, being bisimcha, are the same letters as the word machshava. But simcha is not a result of, simcha is a machshava. It's a way of seeing the world. It's a way of seeing ourselves. Says the Rambam, learn from David HaMelech. Now David HaMelech would put himself out there to express himself, to do his avodas Hashem, regardless of the way people saw him. No matter what, his whole way was just to put himself out there for Hashem. In hagdul v'akavod el l'smoch l'fnei Hashem. There's no greatness, there's no kavod, there's no accomplishment, there's no success in the world as meaningful and as important as being before Hashem. The recognition that we are l'fnei Hashem. Shnemar v'melech David mefazes mecharke l'fnei Hashem. David HaMelech, before the Aron HaBris, rolled around, flipped over, danced all over the place. This is the Fiasetzin the Rebbe explains is the source for the way people dance on Simchas Torah. The meaning of dancing Simchas Torah comes from David HaMelech, who when the Aron HaBris came out, David HaMelech did somersaults and jumped around and got in front of it like the way people dance at weddings in front of a chasan and kala. That's the way David HaMelech danced in front of the Aron. Michal Bat Shul said, what are you doing? Whoa, there's not l'chvodcha to dance like that, to put yourself out there like that, with such reckless abandon. But David HaMelech said, he was Macharker B'chol Oz, he did everything he possibly could and used all of his Kochot HaNefesh, all of his creativity, all of his strengths, everything that he had in him, Lifnei Hashem, the recognition of being Lifnei Hashem. Sukkis is the headquarters of being Lifnei Hashem. Sitting in a booth like this, just sitting here, is a kiyum, is a fulfillment of a divine commandment of besukos teish v'shavasim. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything. Eating, sleeping, playing games. The Ramah says, just being in the sukkah is the awakens this consciousness, the awareness that it's not just we're lifnei Hashem now, sitting in this booth, but that we are lifnei Hashem all the time. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time, and the fact that we are alive in this world, and that we are lifnei Hashem, is reason to celebrate. It's reason to be besimcha. Having that machshava, having that awareness, that recognition not as a result of anything external, not because of any specific accomplishment, not because we have anything or have done anything, but just because we are, be'etzem, in our essence, here in the world, lifnei Hashem, that a Jew is in the world is a reason to feel good. It's a reason to be besimcha. That's what the Gemara says when we go into Av, mematin besimcha, and when we go into other marvin besimcha. But what it has in common is that it's always besimcha. It's like a dimming panel on a dining room light. That you can, a little bit more, a little bit less, but a constant and a consistent baseline of always being. Now Sukkot, we have Simchat Beit Shoeva, and the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Rambam go through great lengths to describe everything that went on, the juggling and the circus acts and the dancing on the ladders, and the women would go here and the men would go there, and they'd have this water drawing and we'd have the Arba Minim, and there'd be all this excitement, and people would stay up late. They'd be so tired, literally the way Chazal described, they'd be so tired that one person would be resting their head on the other person's shoulder because they're so tired from all the festivities. We'd be so drawn out and exhausted from all everything that went on in Sukkot, walking up and down Amek, walking back and forth in front of from the Inbal to the whatever to your friends, and back and forth late at night. It's like there's no day and there's no night over the course of the Yontif, just busy and doing and dancing and going and coming and this activity and this year. Sukkot is the time where we say we realize that despite all of those extra mitzvos and all the extra excitement and fun, the core, the starting point of this feeling good, lifnei Hashem, is understanding is that there's nothing that I did in order to deserve this, and there's nothing that I have to do in order to acquire this. Again, when a Jew is in the world, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, being born in this world means that you matter. It means that you have something to do. It means that I'm here for a reason. It means that there's something for me to accomplish in the world. And that's reason to be besimcha. That's reason to feel good. It's reason to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is engaged in a relationship with me and is counting on me to accomplish something, to do something. And it's not a result of my actions, and nothing I can do can change that. There's nothing I can do that can change that. No matter how hard a Jew tries to sever the relationship between them and God, you can't do it. A Jew is a chelek eloka mimal. We say this every morning. Friends, we say this in the morning. Elokai, neshama, shenasata bi, tohori. Say it. Shenasata bi tohori. Hashem is the one who implanted us with a godly soul. A chelek eloka mimal, an expression of the divine within every single one of us. Leiv tahar brali elokim. Hashem is mechadesh betuva b'chol yom timid. Every single day we get up and there's a new day and a new start. And that reset button is being hit every single day. Every single day we start again. We wake up in the morning. We wake up. First thing we say is moda ani. Because I say, I realize, asiti kvar tayom. We wake up, we open our eyes and say moda ani l'fanecha. Already your day is made. Whatever happens the rest of the day, I already have affirmed the fact that I'm alive, my life has meaning, my life has purpose, I'm a shliach Hashem, I have something that I have to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is counting on me, Hashem needs me in the world, Hashem wants me in the world, I'm here. Yalla, whatever happens the rest of the day, understand that there's a reason to be besimcha. Moda ani l'fanecha, just waking up in the morning saying moda ani l'fanecha is reason enough to go through the day feeling good. Whether or not we do more Torah or less Torah, more mitzvos or less mitzvos, whether we our davening is short or davening is long, that's already the next thing. That's already the Maharal says a gilui, is an expression of the essential relationship. We spend so much time focusing on how to express the relationship, it's important to take a step back and understand the nature and the essence and the beginning, the foundation of the relationship. We talk about davening, after daven more kavana, daven more Tehillim, learn more, I have to learn Tanakh, I have to learn Halacha, I have to learn Machshava, I don't learn Rav Dessler, I have to learn Rav Hirsch, I have to learn Rav Cook, I can't believe it, I've been Ezra for that, I have to learn the Halachas of this, I have to learn the Halachas of Shabbos, I have to learn how to have a kosher kitchen, I have to learn how to have a Jewish home, I have to learn all these things, Halachas of Chinuch, I have to learn what I'm going to do when I get married, I have to learn how I'm going to do it, I have to learn Halachas of hair covering, I have to learn Halachas of that, I mean there's a million, you have to learn a million, all these things are good, but it's also important to take a step back and understand, Ahavta osanu, v'ratzisa banu. Ata b'chartanu mikol ha'amim, Tabachatan Mikol Amim, that's talking about Shavuos. Ahavta Osanu, Ratzisa Banu, that's talking about Sukkos. Ahavta Osanu, Ratzisa Banu. Hashem loves us and Hashem wants us. That's the beginning of it all. With that machshava, understanding that, so we can understand what Rabbi Nachman means, that there's a mitzvah to be besimcha tamid, to always be in this state. It doesn't mean that like we're you know, it's not an extreme thing, that like, you know, we feel totally up one day and down. If you have extreme mood swings, one day feeling like you're flying high and the next day feeling like down in the bottom, dump so high, so low. So like, I don't know, that's not necessarily healthy. That's not necessarily healthy. Simcha means that no matter what, things are going a little bit better, things are going a little bit worse, I'm able to focus a little bit more, and I'm hitting my goals, and I'm accomplishing, and I'm waking up a little bit early, and I'm doing my davening, and I'm sticking to my diet, and I'm doing well with my lashon hara, and I'm feeling good. I'm treating my parents with respect, and I'm connecting with people, and I'm feeling like I'm moving in a positive direction. Or I feel like I'm stagnating. I feel like I'm struggling. I feel like I'm a little bit down, and like things are just not moving, and like I'm having like this roommate problem and some complicated drama with some guy, and I'm having this or this teacher. I want to switch out of the class. I don't want to feel bad, and this, that, I don't know. Whether it's this or it's that, neither there, but I realize that I have a baseline. That baseline is Elokai Neshama Shnasata B'Tahorihi. Hashem brought me into the world. I woke up today, and there's something that I can do in this world. Hashem wants something from me. That sense of mission, that sense of purpose, that sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu needs me as a partner in the world, is what it means to be besimcha. Which is why the capital and the headquarters of that emotion or that recognition, it's not really an emotion, it's more of a recognition, it's more of an awareness, it's more of a sense of a machshava, is on Sukkos. Sukkos comes, and without going into it, everyone knows the discussion whether or not the Sukkah is to remind us of the Anani HaKavod, or it's to remind us of the actual Sukkot that we dwelled in the Midbar, the Tikkun. But L'chol HaDeos, after the Chet HaEgel, where Klal Yisrael, I mean, effectively, it was like a really bad day for Jewish people. Then you had a bad day, you think, oh, Yerida, like struggling a little bit, like, oh, my davening isn't what it's supposed to be. Chet HaEgel was really, really bad. As far as humiliating and debilitating, broken, degrading, awful days in Jewish history, the Chet HaEgel is probably up there as, if not the worst, in one of. Meshech Chachma says that it represents the epitome of distance between God and the nation of Israel. The headquarters is Chet HaEgel. My Rebbe doesn't even say that Chet HaEgel. He says Chet Ayin Gimel, because it's emotional. He gets emotional. Because there was Shvichas Domim there, there was murder, there was Avodah Zarah at the Chet HaEgel, there was Gilui Arayos, there was all sorts of immorality going on there. The way the Medrash describes it in Shir Shirim Rabbah is that at the chuppah, Chassan and Kala there, and the Chassan at the chuppah, as already checking at the bridesmaids, meaning it was that bad. That's what was going on. Pardon me. But that's the way the Medrash describes it. He had a wandering eye under the chuppah. And the ksuba, which is the Torah, had to be broken there. After Chet Ayin Gimel, after the Chet HaEgel, it was so bad. Moshe Rabbeinu stands up and begs God on behalf of Am Yisrael for another chance. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us another shot. The Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachem, Mechana. And that's what we spent the last month or so just pounding away. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachem, Mechana. You're probably like, I don't know, it's like really, really close to the Bima and Shalvim, and heard that davening like really clearly and saw it very clearly. Heard that Hashem Hashem Kerachem Lachanan over and over and over and over again on Yom Kippur. Right after the Chet HaEgel, right after Chet Ayin Gimel, so there's like this amazing thing that takes place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, see, we had the worst, like our relationship fell to the worst possible place. We had the most difficult experience together. What happens right afterwards? What's the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Klal Yisrael, so to speak, an opportunity to make up for it? Hashem says, come, Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Silcham. The Mishkan is the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. And I mean, if you just look at the basic psukim, the way things go, just the basic development, is that the sukkahs that we're sitting in right after Yom Kippur, right after the day where 40 days after Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get a second luchos, after the luchos were broken on Shvasar B'Tammuz, Moshe goes up Rosh Chodesh Elul and comes down 40 days later on Yom Kippur with luchot shnios, with the symbol of Hashem's forgiveness for the Jewish people. 4 days later, corresponding to the Yud Kei Vav Kei, to the full name of Hashem, we go into sukkah booths, which represent the building of the Mishkan. The sukkah is the Mishkan. Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Zalchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that after this brokenness, I want you. Ahavta Osanu V'Ratzisa Banu. Dafka, when we're at our lowest possible point. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, come sit in the sukkah. Smolcha tachas roshi, the ki'ilu, like Hashem is embracing of his left hand, holding us under our head, and mincha t'chabkeini, in his right hand, so to speak, embracing us. That's the way a sukkah is shaped. The Baal Tanya says, two arms, and an arm like this, one part and the second part with a little tefach, the two walls, the minimum measure of a sukkah. Literally, mincha t'chabkeini, being embraced by Hashem, this intimacy that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being lifnei Hashem for an entire week, culminating in Simchas Torah with this incredible dancing before Hashem with reckless abandon, comes following really painful, really broken, really difficult and dark time. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, I want you and need you not because of your actions, not because you're such a gevalt tshuva, not because you did such strong learning and your davening is so awesome. Yom Kippur is Itzumach Shal Yom is Mechaper. It's not like because we put so much effort into it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleanses and gives us another chance. Hashem says, this is the way our relationship is. You do your part and I'm doing my part. Being Lifnei Hashem is the recognition that Hashem wants me and loves me and is engaged in a relationship with me, with us, not because of my actions, and not because of what I do and what I don't do, but because of who I am. If I recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam needs me and wants me because of who I am, be'etzem, so then that'll affect the way I behave, in gilui, with my action. Simcha is the understanding and the awareness that my life has meaning, that things are good. My life has meaning, and I feel good about that, not because of what I have or what I don't have, but just because I am. Similarly, my sense that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way that Hashem views us is Hashem wants us for who we are, not because of what we do. Both are mitzad etzem. Got it? So when Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Sos asis b'Hashem, to rejoice in God, the Maggid of Mezrich said, we rejoicing in God because we are chelak yelakam imal. That our whole essence rejoices when we realize that we are mesameach. What does it mean, sos asis b'Hashem? Mesameach mizeh shani mesameach. I realize that I'm bringing nachas to Hashem. By being in the world and being aware of the fact that Hashem wants me in the world, that brings nachas to Hashem. That's how we're mesameach Hashem, by realizing that we're lifnei Hashem. What the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is for us to realize that He wants us. Ahavta osanu v'ratzisa banu. And then, v'romam tonu mikol ha'lashonos. V'kidashtanu v'mitzvosecha. Then, like, Pesach is meaningful, that Hashem took us out from exile. Then, Shavuos is meaningful, that we have a mandate, we have a how. We have a how, we have a where, we have a when, we have mitzvos, we have obligations, which is the way that we express this recognition. Sukkis is the understanding, is the recognition that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us. Kacha the way we are. Stam kacha the way we are. We go into Yom Kippur. I mean, we went through this whole experience of Elul. Most of you came here first year. You came here right in the middle of Elul. You're thrown into this vortex of like Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah, getting knocked around left and right. You're reading these vidui pamphlets. How many people read vidui pamphlets? I hope you're feeling better from it. You're reading, if not, then that the machzorim with the fine print that tells us how low we are and how broken we are, how debased we are. Meaning more averis, meaning Like, I know I leave a lot to be desired in a lot of my, like, but, like, not that bad. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Whatever. I don't know if it's, like, this need to, like, berate, to just make ourselves feel something. So we try to feel guilty, and we try to feel alienated and broken and low, and, like, we have to do tshuva. Anyways, we come through Yom Kippur, and we're out of that, no? We feel clean from that. We broke free of that a little bit. We said Harotze B'tshuva at the end of Yom Kippur. Baal Tanya writes that if Chanun HaRabel Sloach would be a bracha levatala, if it wasn't really true, Safek Brachas, we, you know, Chadish Arim asks, why is it Yom Kippur, Motzi Yom Kippur, that do we say Slach Lanu V'hurachim Yichakar Ovam, like a minute after the dance? There's Shema, a lot of people yelling Shema and Baruch Shem, a lot of people taking Omach Shema in a very, very wild way. And then they blow shofar. We blow shofar, we say Kaddish. There's like some dancing. And then, V'hurachim yachaper avon, what happened? Says the Chiddush Erim, we have to ask forgiveness from God for doubting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us after Yom Kippur and cleansed us completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the job. Hashem did the work. Yitzuma Shalom is machaper. We show up with a little sincerity, with a little bit of effort in, and the Ribbono Shalom takes care of it. We have to ask Mechila at the end of Yom Kippur for that doubt in the back of our mind that's saying, like, yeah, like the tzaddikim there, you know, whatever, they're in the Book of Life, but me, So tonight, Hoshana Rabbah is the completion of that process. There's bureaucracy in Shemayim. You heard this? This good kvittel people are saying?
Yeah.
Kvittel, what the hell? What's a good kvittel? What's a good kvittel? My daughter asked, like, are you gonna wear your kittel tonight? I said, actually, the chazan wears it tomorrow. And the truth is, the place where I'm down tomorrow, I'm probably gonna be the only person not wearing, like, they'll go with white bekishes. They wear the Yom Kippur garments tomorrow morning. It's a proper, yeah, they go all out because Hoshana Rabbah is the completion of that process, the completion of the Yom Kippur process. That's why people stay up tonight. That's why they have, like, this whole thing, Hoshana Rabbah. We're trying to, like, go into this morning of Hoshanas, of doing all these extra tefillos with a sense of, like, whoa, there's something major happening here. There's red tape in Shemayim. So Kedush Slavi explains the Gemara in Yuma that we know the Chazal tell us that the first day of Sukkis is the first day of the counting of Averos. It's the first day that Hashem is counting up Averos. You heard that before? So there's a statement, Chazal, that at the beginning of Sukkis is like, okay, after Yom Kippur, you get a couple little grace period, you get those 4 days. Now, like, we're starting to, like, you know, the big spreadsheet in the sky, you know, it's like starting up again. So, like, what is that? Zman Tzim Chaseinu, like, someone's counting our Averos, like, what's the story? So, the Kedush Levi says, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that when a person does Tshuva Meira, a person reads the Vidui pamphlet and all those awful things in the translation, and really, like, we pound ourselves. So then all of our zdonot, all the things that we did on purpose, all the wrongdoings that we did on purpose, become like shgagot. They become like they get bumped up. They get bumped from, like, economy class to business class. It goes from being purposeful to being accidental. But the Gemara tells us in Yuma that if a person does tshuva me'ava, it goes from zdonot, from being purposeful, to going to mitzvahs. And zdonos turn to mitzvahs. That's why Makom Shabali Tshuva Omdim, that's why a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, like Tzad HaGomer, can't ever reach that heights. Baal Tshuva turns all of the things that we've ever done, use all of those experiences and all of the things we've seen and done and been, and turn that and use those for holiness, that is a much higher level of accomplishment. All the zdonos become, all the purposeful and mistakes then become mitzvahs themselves. The Kedusha Slavi says, Sukkis is a time where Kadosh Baruch Hu is keeping track of all those mistakes, because those mistakes, through the experience of Simcha and Ava of Sukkis, turn from purposeful or from mistakes into mitzvahs. So that's why Hashem is Kodesh Baruch is counting it up very carefully. That's maybe the positive side of, like, thinking of all those things. Tonight begins the end of that process, the bureaucratic, the red tape in Shemayim of, like, the Rosh Hashanah, it's written, Yom Kippur, it's sealed, and then Hashanah Rabbah, it's really sealed. But the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov say that the real Chasima happens on Chanukah. So we have more time. There's more time. Chasima of Chanukah. Rav Kook explains that the Simcha of these days comes from Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Anybody been to any Simchas Beis HaShoeva?
Yeah, the ice cream. Yeah, he sat all the way up the top. What was that? It was Vishweva. Sukkos Vishweva was the water drawing from the time of the Shiloach. The Khan would go down to the Silwan, to the Shiloach, to the springs there, and you went to your David. You'll go to your David, hopefully, at some point, and you'll see where they drew the water and brought the water up all the way up the mountain, up to the Temple Mount, into the base of Mikdash, and they did the water pouring, the libations during Sukkos. So Rav Kook says, like, an interesting, the Simchat Beit Shoeva, the joy which is expressed, the joy of the Yontif, comes from the drawing of the water, not from the sacrifice itself, not from the libation, not from the pouring of the water at the altar, at the Mizbeach, but from the beginning of the process, from the process itself, the schlepping of the water. When that water is schlepped, there's no clear indication that it's going to make it up the hill, or what the result is going to be, or if they're going to make it happen, if it's going to work out. It's just the fact that there's a process taking place. Because simcha is not the result of, it's not because of, it's not after I've accomplished and I understand the story, I finished the books and I feel good that I did. I davened the full davening, I woke up in time, did all of brachos and all of pesukei zimra, and I did all of brachos and I finished that. Now I feel good, and that's the result of that avoda, is that I feel good. Says Rav Kook, the feeling good, the simcha, is just that I'm engaged in the avoda. We don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know exactly where it's going to... It's just the fact that I'm in the game. The fact that I showed up itself is reason to be besimcha. Because if a Jew is... If we're cognizant of the fact that we are lifnei Hashem, and just by being, we're engaged we're in the process, we're in it, that gives us a sense of accomplishment. It gives us a sense of confidence, knowing that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me. Ahavta osanu, ratzisa banu. And it's not, is the avodah going to work out? Am I going to bring the water to the to the mizbeach and do it or not? Just etzem davar, but the fact that I'm in the game itself, that I'm here, that I wake up in the morning, and I realize that Hashem needs me and Hashem wants me in the world. That Klal Yisrael, Yishayahu Navi says, after all of the avodah zara that we do, Yishayahu Navi turns around and says, Yisrael, asher becha espar. That Hashem takes pe'er, takes pride in us, after all of the mistakes that we've done, that Yeshayahu sees, just one disaster after another. Yisrael, asher becha, in you individually, Hashem is mitpa'er, Hashem has pride, Hashem takes nachas. That we're sitting in a sukkah, which represents the tabernacle, which represents the mishkan, after the chet ha'egel, the restoration of the Anane HaKavod, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace, of Hashem taking us back and giving us another shot, after all that we did wrong. Understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embraces us and wants us, dafka, in our fallen state. It's the way parents of the child can make a mess. I can have an accident and just be a disaster, smelly, schnod, and it can just be a disaster, meaning, God willing, I'll get there. You'll be on a tiul, and like, now then I have a diaper, an extra diaper, and it's just like a disaster. It's hot, and everyone's kvetchy, and you get this kid, and it's just like a mess, and it's up and down the onesie, and it's just a blessing. You should have that experience, and it's just like, and he's like holding this kid, and he's like, what is like, the kid has a hair like this, because it's just like smelly, and like shirt on your shirt, and it's chol moed. It's like laundry situation. There's not that many white shirts to go around. And you get it, and you know what? All you want is you just feel bad that this kid is uncomfortable. You just feel bad that your child is uncomfortable. More than the mess, and more than it's just the feeling that this kid feels uncomfortable, and it's just like not bad for the kid. And you just can't wait to like clean them off and wash them off and take the child out of the bath again. And it's the way Kodesh Baruch Hu views us. We make mistakes, and we soil ourselves, and it's only external. It's only external, it's only outside. So Sukkos, we come inside of the sukkah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, come inside the sukkah with whatever you're doing. Be in here with me. I want you that way. I want you exactly. Sleep in the sukkah, eat in the sukkah, talk in the sukkah, play games in the sukkah. Just be here with me. Be lifnei Hashem and realize that's why I want you all the time. Hashem wants us with our ups. Hashem wants us with our downs. Hashem wants us when we're playing dice, when we're playing cards. Hashem wants us when we're sleeping, when we're eating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us the way we are. For who we are, not for what we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nachas from us is for who we are. That's how it starts. When we realize that, it'll affect the way we do. We'll want to do more. We'll want to do deeper. We'll want to learn more. We'll want to live in a more aware way. We want to do more mitzvahs, have more avodas Hashem. But it has to start with understanding that it comes lifnei Hashem. That's the first thing. Yirmiyahu Navi had a tragic, tragic life. He was the prophet of doom. Eicha? Anyone? Very, very difficult life. He never married. He was charged with the impossible task of delivering the message to Klal Yisrael that Yerushalayim was going to be overrun. And everything Yirmiyahu Navi said unfolded. And you go into your David, you go to these places, you can imagine where he was underground. They even have it as part of the presentation. You can imagine him being underground, hearing the horses coming in and the houses being burnt and the Kohanim being taken and the families being torn apart in the Churban. And Yirmiyahu was the one who said, I mean, every single thing he said, it was fulfilled. He was spat at, he was cursed at, he was stoned by his own peers, by his own people that he was desperately trying to turn around. And yet Yirmiyahu Navi said, "Vahayu dvar chali l'sason v'l'simchas l'vavi, v'hayu li dvarcha, your words, Hashem, dvarcha, what you empowered me to do, what you've challenged me and tasked me to do, sason v'simchas l'vavi, my heart is filled with simcha. Ki nikra shimcha alai Hashem." Okay, tzvakos. Ki nikra shimcha alai Hashem. In a state of absolute rejection, and in the most painful state that you could imagine a person going through, Yirmiyahu delivered the prophecy of the Churban and saw it unfolding in front of his eyes. Still, he's able to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, "V'hayu dvarcha li l'sason l'simchas l'vavi." He was besimcha. He was besimcha, meaning he was able to. Nevuah can only be expressed in a state of joy. And we know that the musicians would come play in order to like uplift their mood a little bit so they'd be able to have clairvoyant clarity to be able to prophesize. He wrote Eicha, which is the most horrific prophecy, in a state of simcha. Simcha doesn't mean exultation, doesn't mean jumping around, doesn't mean because of anything. Simcha is nothing external. Simcha is an internal machshava. Again, machshava, the same letters as being besimcha. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, I still feel, my heart is filled with simcha. Ki nikra shimcha alai Hashem, because he understood that he was a tool for divine will. Because your name is called through me. He understood that Hashem was calling through him. Hashem was using him as an instrument in the world. Shana Rabba tomorrow morning, taking bundles of Aravos. So everybody knows that the different minim, the Medrash tells us, so the Esrog represents nice smell, good taste, so that's like people who have a lot of mitzvahs, a lot of Torah, right? Hadassim, the lulav, the Aravos on the bottom. No taste, no fragrance. Represents someone with no Torah, represents someone with no mitzvahs. Someone who's just an Arava, a willow, a shvachayid, nothing to it. Hoshana Rabba, the day of David HaMelech, the day of being besimcha with the recognition that we are lifnei Hashem, is a day where we're putting down all of the minim, we're putting down the lulav, we're putting down the esrog, we're putting down the hadasim, putting down all the fragrance, we're putting down all of the taste, and the mitzvahs and the Torah, we're putting it aside and we're saying, I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship is expressed with Torah and mitzvahs. But our relationship begins be'etzem, just because. And we take the aravos, which represent a yid with no Torah and no mitzvahs, with no tam and no reyach. And that's what we do the avodah of Hoshana Rabbah with. That's the day where the completion of the process of Yom Kippur comes to the completion today with the aravos. The day of David HaMelech, the Ushpizna of David. This is the last day of Sukkot, the seventh Ushpizna, the seventh guest. Welcome is the Koach of David HaMelech is with us. David HaMelech is Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. This is what the Rambam is saying, the last halacha of Sukkot, that we're learning the importance of Simcha, the Avodah Gedolah of Simcha, from David HaMelech. In Hagdula V'Hakavar El L'Smach Lifnei Hashem, to realize that we are Lifnei Hashem. It should be that in the merit of David, of David HaMelech,
in the merit of David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. We should know that even when we're in a state of being an Arava Jew, even when we're in a state of without Talmud Reach, we have those moments. Realize that we are Lifnei Hashem. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what we have, what we accomplish, what we succeed or what we fail at. Because Simcha is something which is not a result. Simcha is not the result of anything. Simcha is simply because of who I am. It's because of who we are, not because of what we do or what we have or what we don't have. There's an old Italian fable that's kind of been incorporated into the corpus of Chassidus Maislach, that there's a marshal of a king, a parable of a king whose son became very ill. The son became sick. He was deathly ill, and they brought all the wise people, all the doctors of the generation to come heal him, and no one knew how to help him. Until one person said, he's suffering from melancholy. He's suffering from brokenness. He's broken. He's depressed. He's melancholy, and it's affecting his entire body. And the only way to fix this is to find, well, is to put on to give him, there's a special garment, there's a shirt of a happy person, a shirt of a happy man. If he wears this shirt, it has healing powers in order to bring him out of this terrible sickness, out of the sadness, and it'll restore him to his proper health. So the king sends out all of his people, he sends out all of his helpers, everyone, and he puts a tremendous reward. Whoever is a happy man, come and let me have my son have your shirt. And he sends out his messengers all over the kingdom, to the wealthiest people, to all the merchants, the people that have the nicest houses and the most successful businesses, and people who are known and famous. And they ask them, you have all this money, you have this house, are you happy? And one after the other, they said, well, this person has more than me, this one, my son, this one, my business partner messes me over, this one, I don't have any shalom bias, and this one, I don't have this, I wish I had that, I wish I was this, I wish I was that. I used to have more. I could have more. They couldn't find one person in the entire kingdom who was truly besimcha, who was really happy, in order to take their shirt to cure the king's son. This is going on, and the king's son's condition is worsening and worsening and worsening. Till finally, they find that there's one guy at the edge of the kingdom. He's like the shepherd. Some guy said he's happy. He's known to be a happy person. The king Dachuf sends out messengers to get him. They find this guy and they say, tell us, are you happy? Is it true that you're the happy man in the kingdom? He said, yeah, I am happy. He said, quickly, come with us to the king. They grab him and bring him to the king's palace, into the son's room, and they say to the melech, to the king, here's a happy person. We have someone here who's happy. The king said, wonderful, I'll give you half of my wealth, half of my kingdom, and everything that, just to please give me your shirt so I can heal my son. And the shepherd opens up his cloak and he's not wearing a shirt. He doesn't have a shirt. Because happiness isn't talui. It doesn't depend on anything external. The shirt of a happy person is no shirt at all. It's just that I am. It's who we are. It's not what we have or what we do. In the way that Talmid Baal Shem Tov adapted the mashal, explained the mashal, or restored the mashal to its supernal root, maybe. It's understanding that Klal Yisrael, we're suffering. All of the brokenness that the Jewish people have experienced and are experiencing in exile, all the 98 klalos, all the 98 tochachot, are all tachas asher lo avadatam as Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav. All because we're not serving God with joy. Serving God with joy is not, it's just realizing who we are. Realizing that we are sons and daughters of the King. There's nothing that we need outside of that. Anything is just, it's like matova manai, a little Torah, tefillah, avoda, mitzvos, great. A good family, God willing, coming to Eretz Yisrael. All the things are mitzad ma'asim. But to work from the inside out, to realize there's no shirt that we can put on that'll give us that sense or awaken us. Or magically cure us of these tochachot. We're bringing these karbanos throughout Sukkot, these 98 karbanos to offset it, but in the end of the day, the ultimate healing is realizing that we're lifnei Hashem. The mitzvah gedolah lios b'simcha tamid, to always be in that state, to understand that no matter where we are and what we're doing, no matter what we're doing or not doing, no matter who we're with, no matter what is happening in our own lives, a Jew always is b'simcha.
Hashem should help us that in the merit of this great Yontif, in the merit of David HaMelech, in the merit of Hoshana Rabbah, of all the Aravos of the world, we should know that we're lifnei Hashem all the time. We should know Ahavta Osanu V'Ratzisa Banu, Hashem wants us and Hashem needs us. We should always have that machshava to be besimcha tamid wherever we are and wherever we're going. It should help us that we should have a good kvittel, good katava, and a chsima tova, and hopefully a good gebench dior. You're filled with sweetness and joy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.